Greetings and welcome to Falcon of Life's Daily Inspirations. This is Philip Hudson, and today we'll be carrying on with our study of the love chapter, as it's called, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to just carry on where we left off there yesterday. And again, as I have shared, the heart of this chapter is it's plunged right here in the middle of the book of Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And we know that there were a lot of things active there at the church of Corinth. There were gifts that seemed to be flowing there beyond where they were at other assemblies and that. And yet there in the beginning, Paul told the church there, he said, you know, they think they're spiritual because they have this gift and prophecy flowing and tongues and healings and all these things that are flowing actively and fully seeming within their midst. And he says he's thankful for that. But he says they're carnal and not spiritual, because there were things there that were not of God's Spirit. He says, you're carnal. And he said, because where there's envy and strife, you know, that these are carnality. This is not a sign of spiritual life. And though they had all these gifts flowing, he hits them in the place of carnality and saying they're not spiritual. And, you know, our tendency is to think, you know, if I talk spiritual talk, if I do spiritual things, if I have insights into spiritual matters or the scriptures and some mysteries are unfolded to me, that makes me therefore a spiritual person. And Paul takes this and he tells them all these gifts. And then he says, I'm going to tell you a more excellent way, though. And he even tells them to covet the best gifts, and that everyone would be able to prophesy and don't forbid the speaking of in tongues. And he says all these things, but then he says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And that's where this chapter begins, you know, with though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or love, I've become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And, you know, what he's saying there is where, you know, pure, undefiled, selfless love, the love of God for this human race, the love of God for man, the love of God for his bride, the love of Jesus Christ for the souls of men and for his precious bride that he wants to be prepared pure and spotless, that this is the motivation that must motivate the heart as we operate in gifts or whatever else, that if it's not from this, he says you're not spiritual, but you're carnal and behaving like men. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. And, you know, I mean, he takes all of our crutches out, all of our props out. We have nothing to stand on any longer. And then he's going to give that long, beautiful definition of love. And as we read that definition of charity or love, we see defined the heart of God, the character of God, the way of God. It's not just something he's telling us, you know, you should be like this, you should act more like this. This would really make things flow better for you. You know, what do you have to exalt over another person? You know, you too are this way, you know, and he's not saying those things. This is the heart of God. This is the way God treats people. This is the way God sees people. This is the way God deals with people. You know, when we read yesterday, charity suffereth long and is kind. And this is our God. God suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. God does not envy. God does not get intimidated by other people and find himself in competition with others. God does not vaunt himself. He doesn't press himself into the first place and try to get himself to, you know, he doesn't have a me first mentality and way about himself. He says that's not love. Because remember, God is love. And charity is not puffed up. That means God is not puffed up. God is not a proud and arrogant God. You know, he's not pushing his way and seeing himself as better than others. And you think, well, he is the holy and exalted one. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the one who is high and lifted up. and yet he's the one that came lowly, riding on a donkey, even the colt of a donkey. This is our God. This is our God, though he is the great and almighty God, and he's higher than everything and everyone, and he is the Lord God Almighty, and there is none like him. Yet he comes riding on the colt, even the colt of a donkey, and he's washing his disciples' feet, and he's seeking and saving sinners, and he's going after the least of these, and he's meeting a woman at a well that is bound in sin and broken marriages and divorces and living in adultery and in fornication, and he goes to her to give her water. And we see this. This is our God. And he indeed does suffer long, and he's kind, and he doesn't envy, and he doesn't vaunt himself, and he's not puffed up. When we look in the face of Jesus Christ, we see the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we see what it means that God is love. And so when he calls us and tells us that apart from this love, this charity, that we're nothing, can do nothing, and we're nothing but an obnoxious and wrangling sound in the ears of people that turns them away and leaves them with a cold chill, though we're flowing with all of our gifts. And in verse 5, he says, charity does not behave itself unseemly, does not act rude, does not act put out and run around with a chip on its shoulder. The next one really puts us in our place. Seeketh not her own. Isn't after that which is going to make her most satisfied or what she wants to be, you know. And this is God. He doesn't seek his own, but he seeks the well-being of others. He didn't come to this earth to seek his own. What a foolish thing to come here to seek his own. He had the throne of his Father. He was at his right hand, one with the Father, in a place undefiled and untarnished by sin. And he came down to this earth, not for himself, but for you and for I, and to redeem for himself a people, a precious people, out of the sin-cursed earth. Oh, he doesn't seek his own. And he tells us that if we're going to be loving, that we can't seek our own. We can't use our gifts to seek our own agenda in our own ways. We can't use our talents and our abilities to try to build things up for our own selves, because love doesn't seek her own. Love's not easily provoked. When it doesn't get its way, when things don't go the way that it likes, it's not put out and provoked and provoked to anger. God help us. Help us that we would be full of love, the love of God. And love thinketh no evil. Lord, help us that we be more like you, our pure and spotless Savior, our High Priest, who left heaven and came to earth and showed love all the way to the cross, all the way to your death on the cross, that suffers long and is kind, doesn't seek his own, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, isn't rude. Lord, help us to be more like you and change us, Father. So may the Lord bless you this day.